Hello and welcome to another episode of FPL Kopi Talks, where we stress about FPL so you don't have to. I'm Anwar, the Are You Sure You're Casual?
I'm ABK, the Arsenal Loyalist.
And I'm Lukman, the Sensible One. How's it going, boys?
How are you doing, bro?
Really great, bro.
Only thing so is
we are podding the different timing today.
So it's ABK's your first school day, right, today? Your
first day in school today? Last week was my first school day, so this is my second week of school day. Yeah.
So usually he would have class.
Yeah, but I'm up early today for the pod. Yeah.
Yeah, and Lukman is actually down with COVID.
Yeah. So
how are you feeling, bro? Your first time?
No, not my first time.
But it's just for the MC lah.
I think you got ill watching your team play, is it?
Correct. I'll tell the story later
The VR call.
That could have played a part, but I'll tell you more about it in the what's that segment? Tall Venti and
Tall Grande.
Grande. I'll tell you more. Yeah, but did you watch the Champions League last night?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Disappointing.
How's it, man?
Disappointing. Yeah, cried myself to sleep, man, last night.
alright, I guess it's time we start the pod. No, they are 15 in the League One. 15.
Yeah, the only person I know in the team is the keeper. I see him sometimes in the I don't know.
I guess it's time to start the pod proper. But before that, don't forget to follow FPL Kopi Talks on IG, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube and X.
Yes, show us some love with a like, follow and subscribe. We're always working hard to provide up-to-date, top content to partner you in your FPL journey.
Also, if you haven't, do join our Telegram group where we're running our FPL Prize League. I'm really looking forward to this pod. And without further ado, grab your beverage of choice. This is episode 85, Watkins on Sunshine. Let's get into it.
Boss, copy also to boss.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks.
It's Freddie Ljungberg again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
What a piece of quick thinking!
Okay, so we start with Tall, Grande and Venti. This segment is where we put our purely biased, highly opinionated ratings of this game week. Who wants to go first, bro?
Maybe we go for...
I think I have the worst. Worst to best?
No. Worst to best...
I don't know whether it was me or not. Okay, you go first. Okay, you go first. No, I think mine is worse because I had COVID as well, so... Okay, you can go first.
Like both on and off, Wow, what a game week, man. What a game week. I told myself I don't want to go into this pod lamenting some of the decisions that were made last week. But after hearing the release of the VAR audio this morning, it was absolutely shambolics, man. Absolutely shambolics. And to help, because of that, right, I think Salah blanked. I would say blanked. And I had a really, really horrid game week. I thought Pickford would at least keep a clean sheet against Luton, but he let in two. And overall, with the VAR decisions, with the Liverpool last-minute Matip goal, and the points that I had for 41, right, like 9 under, and I actually, this week, I actually dropped behind ABK in all rankings. I would give it a 1.6 out of 10, man. This is the worst FPL game week I've ever had. It's the worst one. How about you, Lukman?
I'm just wondering where you get all this, like, decimal points from you cannot keep it to 0.5 or 0.0. I need to put 0.6.
Arbitrary.
Yeah. I mean, 1.6.
It reminds you of your primary school days.
1.6 kilometer runs. Behind it.
Okay, look.
There's some maths lah, but I think if I go into the details, right, we think more than this.
Too long. It's too long. Okay, the game, the Liverpool and Spurs, as a Liverpool fan watching the game was just... So, I had to stay up to watch the game. So, on Sunday morning, I had plans because I have family friends from Indonesia coming. So, I couldn't cancel it. So, on Sunday morning when I woke up, I had like super high fever. I didn't know I had COVID then. So, but I still had to carry on with my day because there were people coming in, right? So I woke up groggily, fever after such a... The result was just horrendous. I mean, after everything and the game, and then my game week... Also, my game week was also quite bad. So if you add all that, I think the rating I'll give is probably around 2.5. It would have been lower if like Man United and Man City won, like, but they lost, right? So it kind of brought up a bit like the pack, you know, but above 2. But it's still horrendous, or because my game week also was bad. So yeah, I think my rating was 2.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
ABK.
For me, I think it's known. it's easy to guess ranking that. No. It's not a 10. It's not a 10. I would say it's a... You in a 0.6. Yeah, so I'll rate it 8.5. Yeah, as in Anwar mentioned, it's a topsy-turvy week. So it's a week that I managed to catch up with a lot of people. A lot of people dropped. I think there was big differences in points. So I think my strategy to kind of wildcard last week, I think it was kind of a surprise move, but it kind of worked out for me. Right? I mean, after a week that I had a good game week and a wildcarding the week after, right? It was a bit kind of dangerous to do that. But it kind of worked for me. The strategy worked for me. There were a lot of players I needed to get rid of, right? And then they came through for me, those guys. Yeah, so FPL sense, really, really good week. I mean, the only thing is that I benched Cash and I also didn't play Saka. I got Saka on my team at the last minute. So I think that was a bit... a bit of a bummer when I
probably thought he was injured, right?
Yeah, I thought
you
bench
him or you bench him or
I sold
you
him. I sold him. I sold Saka out for Fernandes. So I kind of
you're part of the 800,000 who sold Salah. Saka.
Yeah. So yeah. Then after he returned, so I mean, quite disappointing.
We'll talk about him later.
Quite disappointing to sell my own Arsenal player, because you know how
big
of a loyalist I am.
And you got lucky. He was in the mood of giving away penalties.
He was in the mood of giving Christmas came early. So anyway, like on the football side, it's also something that I'm really, really happy about this week. Arsenal dominating as steamroll Bournemouth. It was a very, very easy game. Havertz scoring again.
We'll talk about that later.
The big teams Man City dropping points, Liverpool dropping points. I was hoping for a Liverpool Tottenham draw. I was kind of happy with a 1-1. But then towards the end, Tottenham scored. So I think that's the reason why
8.5 include the Champions League loss this morning?
No. Just fully FPL and EPL. I think if you want to factor in the Champions League loss, maybe I will minus one more point.
Six. Minus one. Okay, so brew of the week. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that had exceeded our FPL expectations and we feel might go into a hot streak of brewing form. So, Aston Villa, 6. Brighton 1. So you know what's the XG for this game? Brighton had more XG than Villa.
Yeah.
So Brighton had 1.71.
Yeah.
Villa at 1.58 and it was 6-1. So that's quite interesting. Just a quick stat on Watkins, the main guy for ABK's wildcard. He has registered 29 goal contributions. No.
He's not my main guy in my wildcard. He's always been my team from day one.
Yeah, but he's their World Cup team. He's the main guy who scored you
main
so many
guy
points,
who scored me points for my World Cup. Yes,
yeah. Because I did ask you to take him out. Why you never listen to me, bro?
Yeah.
Back to the stat. 29 goal contributions, 17 goals and 12 assists since Unai Emery replaced Steven Gerrard. That is more than any other player in fantasy, bar Haaland and Salah. So basically, he's been on it. I mean, he's been consistently on it for more than 1 year already. So, yeah. So, going to game is... Right, he had no goals, but after game week 7, he's the top scoring FPL player. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? One more point at Haaland. So, it became a...
It was coming, like, what do you think? It was coming, like, you know, it was like slowly, like, he's been clocking up the points. All right, that's a 5 points. All right, then you knew the floodgates was gonna open someday, like, and I
held his underlying was there, right? His underlying,
I think not really, also, actually, yeah. The underlying, it isn't like a hat trick with a few assists kind of underlying. There was, I mean, There was some underlying stats, but it wasn't like a kind of a big. I mean, like even think, what you mentioned, the XG wasn't even 1.5. It wasn't even more than 2, right? So I mean, the underlying in this game so doesn't show that he was called out. But I just want to a quick mention was that there was this one question.
So that being said, right, what ABK is putting on Captain Hindsight point of view, right? So actually, the underlines for Watkins hasn't been great. He just got lucky. I won't say he got lucky in this game. He converted his chances in this game. 3 goals in this game. And I think that was where he gained more of a point. But looking from someone out looking in, right, I think it's interesting, especially for the run of games that Aston Villa is going to come in. It's definitely going to give him that boost of confidence. So Aston Villa has some solid games coming up. So it's really good. And I have Diaby. So I'm happy that Diaby returned with 2 assists. And I think Diaby is also quite instrumental in this team. He's slowly going to clock up the points. I think he played as a second striker in that game. He's at 6.6 million now, and I won't be surprised. I mean, right now he has an orange sticker on him, I think for an injury or something like that. But I won't be surprised if like that goes away, that his price will go up soon with more people looking to bring him in as an Aston Villa asset for the coming games.
Okay, like the orange sticker aside. Okay, yeah, the thing that I was gonna say just now was that
someone asked a question. Is it?
Someone asked a question like previous, who? Like long time ago, like 2 pods ago. They say who's the best partner for Alan on the in the forward.
Oh, it's a must-have striker, is it?
The must-have striker question.
Yeah.
I say Watkins, bro. Okay, I say Watkins. Okay, I'm just gonna stick to my Watkins. I don't think that's a must-have striker. I'm just gonna stick to Watkins. So I'm just gonna plug that now. Like I actually did. Like
you called it,
I call it. But the thing is, with Lukman's recommendation, it's not that I didn't think about it. Like I spent the week actually contemplating the move to go Nunes. So I wanted to do Watkins to Nunes, and then Foden to Diaby. Yeah.
Sure,
so the only reason why I didn't do it in the end, right, was that I was really tempted to do it, to be honest. Like, but then the only reason why I didn't do that was because of the minutes. Like, I think Watkins, right, there's no one that is competing with him for that spot. I think back then he used to have Ings or like Archer that's like playing in the same position as him. But I think
John Duran.
At the moment, like even Diaby is playing alongside him, right? So I mean, there's no one competing for that spot. Yeah. Whereas for Nunes, right, it could be a risk, you know. And then they have like European games, and then if he doesn't start the European games, if he starts the European games, there's a chance that he doesn't start the Premier League game. So in the end, I decided not to go with Nunes because Watkins is a more nil option now for me. Yeah.
23 points, man. No, without any penalties, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Just crazy. I still don't think he's a clinical finisher, despite 23 points. I know it's a bit ironic, but I still think technically he's not the best. Like, do you agree? He's finishing. Remember, because he had a lot of chances. Remember back last season, he used to have a lot of chances and he still missed. I still think he's that player. He still needs to improve his finishing. But yeah, he's essential, he probably is, right?
I mean, essential, I don't know lah. But I mean, like, what you get from him is you get almost 90 minutes every game, right? And then he's just given all the chances that he has to score. I think there are weeks that he convert and there are weeks he won't lah. I think one thing I want to just touch on based on Anwar's point, right? Okay, let's put aside the orange flag on Diaby. Is it viable if you're on a wild card to go for both Diaby and Watkins? What do you think?
Definitely viable. I have both of them on my team after this week's wild card.
Yeah.
So I'll share a bit more.
Because the fixtures, right?
I'll share a bit more.
And cash also. I'll triple up also, actually.
Triple up. Because I thought it was like a Watkins or Diaby. You shouldn't have both lah. But now I'm leaning towards. So, I mean, of course, hindsight, right?
Yeah,
After this week, right? You think okay, it's good to have 3, right? But yeah,
From the start, I already said Diaby from the start of the season, right? Because I felt that it was absolute value at 6.5 million as a second striker to Watkins. So the way Unai Emery sets up this team, he usually has this big man, small man partnership up front. And I think that Diaby did well. He was from, if I'm not wrong, he was from the German league, and he was absolutely outstanding there. I think he was from
Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, he was absolutely outstanding there. So I think he played out wide there. And when he came to Aston Villa, Emery actually played him in a more support striker role, just behind Watkins, and he has been absolutely brilliant there as well. I'm just surprised that Leon Bailey has not had more opportunity. I think he's now out injured, right? Yeah, but
yeah.
He's another player that it was between Diaby and Bailey, to be honest, at the start of the season, and I'm glad that I actually bet on Diaby instead of Bailey. Yeah.
Hey, so spoiler alert, Anwar activated your wildcard already, right?
Yeah, wildcard.
Okay, stay tuned to
I can't, bro.
Wait, you activated, right?
Yeah. As in, I can't sure go without the wildcard. I press already, confirm. Minus 56 points. I will cut it.
Okay. We stay tuned to the end of the pod to see his draft. But anything else on Villa?
Yeah, just touch on a bit on Diaby. I'm quite surprised. I'm just looking at his stats now. He's got 31 goals in 125 games for Leverkusen, Diaby. So actually pretty decent.
Yeah, that's quite good. Returns. That's quite decent, actually.
Yeah, for a winger, right? I think that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
For wide midfielder.
£50 million, right?
Was he?
I think around 50. And Leon Bailey also came from Leverkusen. So.
Was he? I thought he's from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Okay, next brew of the week, second of the week. We haven't brewed them so far, so we'll give it to them one time. So it's Arsenal, ABK's team. I didn't watch the game, so ABK, why don't you?
Lucky lah, bro. Lucky. Over.
Lucky. Four nil lucky.
Two penalties, one rebound, Saka tap in.
Rebound, Saka, tap in.
And set piece. The set piece was class. The first goal was a set piece. Like Saka. Ben White. Set piece. Hey, bro,
I forgot already because I already watched yesterday's game.
It is by the lens.
Lons.
Why Ben White never start this morning?
I have no idea, actually.
Oh, topic.
I think they're just rotating a bit, resting players and all that.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about Arteta. So before the game, let's talk about the game. Yeah, let's talk before the game, right? Before the game week, right? Arteta said he didn't train, right?
Mm.
And there were pictures that he wasn't in training. Saka, I'm talking about Saka.
Mm.
That's why there were 800K managers who sold him, including ABK in his wildcard.
Yeah.
So do we just not believe Arteta from now, or? Cause I'm sure he trained, right? Or do you think he didn't train and then
I think he didn't train. I think I'm a bit critical of the management of Saka at the moment. I feel like they should like protect him a bit. They should make sure that he manage his minutes a bit. I know he's a talisman, he's important to the Arsenal team, right? But he's injured, we're playing against Bournemouth. I think we should have not started him if he had niggles. He can't go on playing every game of the season. I mean, what happened yesterday's game? I think 20-30 minutes.
Yeah, what happened?
He got injured again. So
he's a risk now, right? To play this weekend.
Yeah, I think now he's a real doubt for Man City. And then after we've won, we've scored three goals already. The first person he took out was Odegaard and someone else. I can't remember. He took Saka out later when he got injured. So I think It's bad game management. I think we're just gonna run him to the ground if we don't manage his injury.
It's only seven game weeks.
Yeah,
and that's because they don't have another right midfielder to.
Yeah,
to
I would say him. That. I mean, there's no one that's like an able deputy. I mean, Trossard can play there. Jesus can play there. If you want to put Fabio Vieira there yesterday, they sub in Vieira for
Jesus
him there.
So that,
but I think he's concerned the dynamics of the team would probably.
Yeah. The attack is won't be as good with Saka without Saka there lah, definitely. But we gotta try lah because we can't be a one man team. We can't be dependent on Saka. That's what I feel lah.
Yeah. So I got quite lucky with Saka this week. I actually have him in my team and I got the 9 points. Basically,
unlucky,
my team
bro.
Was quite.
He could have gotten 20 points. He could have gotten 20 points.
No, okay. The thing was I actually considered selling him because my bench is really weak. Like I got Odogi, Gusto, who's injured, and I had Rijo.
Gusto is
Carded.
Suspended.
Yeah, so like I only had Udogi on my bench.
Who you have sold him for?
Odegaard or someone else? Yeah. I mean, I could have done him for Odegaard, lah, but I decided I wanted to.
Would have been a good choice because he's got more points, right?
Yeah, it would have been a good choice, but I just put him in. I tried to strengthen my bench a bit with Archer. And then, because I think Estupinian and Mitoma was also a rotation risk for that week. And then, yeah. So I just got lucky lah with Saka. But, like you say, lah,
The thing is, if the same things that comes up from Arteta going to the Man City game, right, I have a feeling Saka will still play even though he's like 10% or 25% because he's still Man City. And he might still return because Man City has no Rodri. And that's why I'm still in a dilemma now.
Yeah.
Whether to sell Saka or not. Yeah, that's the thing.
I think it's not even the fault of the team and the manager. I think Saka also, seems like he forces himself, I think. Like, you know, and I think he's never had a long or huge injury, right? So I think sometimes that some footballers' mentality when they haven't got like really injured yet, right, is that just play on, like you can just run it off kind of thing, you know? Yeah. So that's also bad, lah. I mean, maybe that's a bit of
he shouldn't have started this morning.
Yeah, definitely not. See, I don't know why he started. Yeah.
But Odegaard, what a player, man! Odegaard. Yeah. I really think he's really stepping up.
Is he an option though?
What do you think, ABG?
FPL.
I mean, if Saka is already in your team, then I wouldn't put him in.
Saka's first.
But unless Saka gets injured, then I think second choice I will put Odegaard in.
But I really don't understand the penalty decision. Why you give it up to Odegaard?
It's the beauty of it, bro.
I think Neto is a good penalty saver. Like, he knows how to save penalties, right? And he would have studied Saka's patterns already. I think
that makes sense.
Right. So Saka not confident, nah.
So
Euro 20 semi-finals all over again.
Oh no, maybe he's really injured. He can't take.
That's right.
I don't know, lah.
It's a bit weird, like that. You can play a game, but you cannot shoot the penalty, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Rose of the week. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that could have done much better this game week and deserve the rose coming their way. So it's not the first time you are roasting them this game week. This season, I think it's Manchester United. So they are ranked 12th in XG. So to say that they are missing their chances, so we can't say that. So it's basically the whole team's issue, lah. So, yeah. So let's talk about the main guy. I think I still have Rashford. Who has Rashford? Ano?
Oh, yeah, I had Rashford.
Oh, yeah. So
Now you know.
So Rashford's form has got to a point that even Ten Hag has to answer questions of his poor form. So that's how bad Rashford has been playing. What do you think of Man United and Rashford?
TBK? I think it's the whole team structure as a whole, lah. I think was it yesterday or earlier this week, Zlatan came forward to give his opinion.
Yeah,
quite and Zlatan said that I think it's the management because ETH, right? He said ETH is doing it's not really a tested manager. Like he's applying what he did at AX at United, and United don't have the same setup as AX, and I think that's what might be wrong. But
one of the points he mentioned was that AX is a youthful team with youthful energy, and managing a youthful team like with youth stars is different from managing a team of like already established superstars in terms of like mentality and you know how you treat them.
And then you look like on field reactions, like for example Casemiro like acknowledging Højlund and then saying that giving comments like I didn't know he was this good, like it's comments like this lah. So it's a team, it looks very disjointed. In terms of gameplay, I think Rashford tried to share a bit more. Like there were a few times where he actually gave the pass when he would usually take the shot. But they could also come up to Crystal Palace very tight defensive structure, lah. And I think Johnston also did a couple of good saves. So Johnston as a, I mean, as a goalkeeper FPL set, I think it's one to look out for as well. And I think as a whole, United, a lot of things that they have a long injury list as well. So that doesn't help them. And I don't know what else to say, man. I mean, yeah,
okay, but then the thing is, one thing is like, if there's the criticism on the manager, right? Saying what changed from last season? You know what I mean? Like, so last season they were a team that, I mean, we know that Man U in the past few seasons before ETH, they were pretty bad. So, like, I mean, they couldn't even qualify for Champions League. So last season, I think ETH did pretty well. They managed to end up fourth. I think we saw the best of Rashford in many, many seasons. Right. So what changed this season that suddenly became like, you know, like everything just turned for them?
Last season, okay, to be very honest, right, I mean, I might be a bitter rival, but last season I felt that they got away quite lucky with many games. There were a lot of 1-0 wins. Last game that actually clocked them the points, and Rashford was in the form of his life. So correct. With Rashford dropping, I mean, to be fair, Rashford played well in that team, and I think ETH wanted to prioritize him in this setup as well. But the downside to that is that if Rashford does not perform, as we have seen, he has not in the last 7 weeks, then the whole team just I would say, like, I won't say disintegrate. Right now, what he's doing, if you see, he's putting Højlund up front. He's trying with Pedestri on the left. He's trying with Garnacho on the left. He's trying many different things just to see what works. Because I think coming into the season, he's just hoping that, you know, Rashford would recover the form, give the ball correct. To him, okay. Set the team up around him, and then, But apart from that, I think there's some other things as well, like, that's missing. So I was watching this video on what's missing in this United setup is the counter pressing. So this team, if with like Bruno is excellent in counter pressing, but Rashford does not contribute as much in counter pressing, and then the defensive deep lying midfielders as well, and the wide midfielders. So it's an issue. So the problem with the way ETH wants to play is that with counter pressing, you're trying to overload the ball. So that you have numerical advantage, but the moment you lose that area in the overload, you get overloaded instead. So it's a very high risk, high return kind of game, and I think he doesn't have the right players to execute that.
Yeah.
So like that's another thing.
The other thing I want to just touch on is the counter pressing point is that counter pressing works if everyone works together. If you have one person that's not doing the counter press, like Rashford, right? Then it just breaks apart, because then that one person is free to do anything they want, and then they can just pass off the ball already. Yeah, so they need to work together to counter press. There were a lot of clips, and then there's been a lot of criticisms of Rashford in terms of that. He doesn't press like when the team loses the ball, right? He's just jogging, lightly jogging. So I think there could be a mentality thing from Rashford, like, you know, he thinks that he wants to conserve for counter attack or to something like that.
And I think it's very similar, like as a form as a whole. If you look at the last season Liverpool team just before the Christmas break, where we really went down, I think when in terms of counter pressing, it's really about the tempo, about the rhythm, about the momentum, and when you're out of it, right, it's really quite difficult to get in. But if there's any silver lining, I think the inception of Højlund into this lineup could change the dynamics of things. I think he scored two this morning in the Champions League, but although they actually went on to lose that game, but he scored, and I think as a central, like what was missing in last season's ETH team was a focal central striker that could benefit from the team, that could benefit from this team, and I think Højlund actually provides that. But it's still too early to say if like they will pick up in the next few game fixtures.
Yeah, well said on the counter pressing. Okay. The thing is, okay, Rashford blanked in the last three games, right? And Højlund, that's when Højlund started for the first time. So I think Højlund, right, is kind of like limiting Rashford. So in my opinion, Rashford is their best player. Rashford is what Salah is to Liverpool, right? So I think maybe having Højlund there is not good for Rashford, which in turn, like, it's not good for the team. So maybe that could be good and for bad. The team. Yeah, like for example, like Højlund is limiting Rashford, right? And I think Rashford is a better player, obviously, than Højlund, right? Højlund is still new and raw.
Yeah, but like, I mean, Rashford, he's like,
I know your form,
it's up to him, no? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, fair. the form depends on him. It's not like the team brings out the best in him. You get what I mean?
No, but
like, I feel that way. I feel
Hoyland affects. You don't think Hoyland affects him?
Yeah, Hoyland affects how he plays. But as a whole, I think as a team, they have a better potential to perform better with Hoyland in the team than to keep sticking to Rashford in the team. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Because I mean, the alternative is to Hoyland is Anthony Martial. So
yeah, exactly.
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay.
Good discussion.
But I want to know the conclusion. I want to know the conclusion. Rashford, do we keep or do we sell or do we?
I got one stat on Rashford. So, I got one stat on Rashford. He has the most goal attempts in the box than any other FPL midfielders this season, and he's underachieving more on the XG than any other midfielder. So he's still getting the shots from game week one for the whole season. But watching him, right, his decision making, like with Hoyland, for the last two games I watched the whole game for Manu, right, I just don't feel it with him and Hoyland. I know it's only two games, right, things could change, and his body language and all. So for me, it's an easy sell. But then again, they're home to Brentford, and if you watch Brentford, right, they lost to Everton, they should have lost to Forest, so they got lucky also. So it's a bit, yeah, but if you can sell Rashford to Sun, then that's the most easiest transfer you can do, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my answer.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
I think it's too expensive for what he's producing right now.
Yeah.
And there are many, many better options out there. You can even bring Watkins in a two-way transfer. There are many better options out there. And I think Brentford is in the same league as Crystal Palace, and they showed they couldn't do it at home against Crystal Palace.
So, one other question is, if you have Fernandes and Rashford, which one would you rather have?
Rashford.
Fernandes.
I have Bruno. I have Bruno, yeah. Sorry.
Bruno.
Okay, perfect. That answers my question, because I have Fernandes in my team still. My plan for Fernandes was always to bring Saka back in for this spot. It's just that he plays Brentford home, and after that he faces Sheffield away. Yeah. So I think maybe in game week 10 when he faces Man City, maybe I can ship him out then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that is an easy transfer, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll still hold him for Brentford and Sheffield. I think my advice will be the same if you have if you're on a wild card, then definitely you can take Rashford out. But if you're not on a wild card, I think you can keep Rashford until the Sheffield fixture. Yeah.
My dilemma is selling him or Saka. That's why the Arteta's comments is very important. I have a dilemma.
My feeling is this time I think Saka is really out injured. I'm got a feeling.
But Man City, he will probably play, right?
I got a feeling
I think
he's injured. He's really injured now. We've really pushed him a bit too far already in the past few games.
But this morning game, City, right? Yeah. Was he took out in the 30th minute, right? Was he limping or was he walking away? Do you remember?
I mean, I saw him walking back to the bench. I mean, like in second half, he was just walking on the bench.
Precaution?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe mind games. Mind games.
No, I'm just saying, talking about City, that's our other roast of the week this week.
It's not often we get to roast Man City, so we have to lap it up, but don't take too long. But yeah, so Erling Haaland, right, only managed one shot the entire match, 0.06 XG. So they were saying it's a Craig Dawson masterclass. So I'm not sure.
I tell you guys, Man City, right, they will win all the teams. Right? It's just like some random, bottom five team. I mean, it's not Luton. The other time I mentioned was Luton that's going to beat Man City. It took like Wolves to beat them. Bro. That's kind of crazy.
But I think I think the Rodri, they were really missing Rodri.
Yes.
Rodri really gave them that shape.
I feel
when they put Nunes in, right, it wasn't the same.
I feel when you said Nunes, you might hit. I thought it was Darwin.
Darwin.
I think they're really missing the spine of the team. I think what worked for them last season a lot was the spine of the team of having De Bruyne and Rodri in the middle. They've lost De Bruyne for until maybe the end of the year. And I mean, the next three games will be without Rodri. So I think that's where Man City is a bit lacking in the middle. I mean, you can say that they're a very stacked team, but even in a stacked team, you still need your key players to run the team.
But They have quality midfielders, in my opinion. They have Calvin Phillips, they have Matheus Nunes.
Calvin Phillips.
But the thing is, right, I'm just not sure. I don't know if you guys read this, but Pep actually said or commented on Calvin Phillips saying that he still does not have the qualities of midfielder that Pep wants. And we don't know exactly what it is because Calvin Phillips was a beast of a player when he was playing for Leeds and the Beastler. And that is not good quality for Pep's midfield. I'm not sure what is lah. So, yeah, I mean, like, to say that they don't have quality midfielders, it's not that, but I just feel that Pep's system maybe is so unique that they really need the right type of players to play there.
The level is Rodri lah, I guess. He's so far away from Rodri that he's not quality, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the bar that they set. But ABK has Foden, right? ABK, you have Foden, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Foden, right, for the last two Premier League games, he only had one shot. So, as a Foden owner myself, you only have one shot in a game, and he's playing quite centrally also, no? Because Walker is overlapping.
Mm.
It's not ideal at all. So, yeah, you can, I don't know, I don't have the luxury to sell unless I'm on wildcard. But for you, ABK, what do you think of Foden? For me, it's a tough hole. It's a hole, but I have no choice but
I want to feeling. I want to sell him. I mean, like, as I mentioned, that there's that spine of the team that's missing in the Man City team. So I think they aren't creating as much. So, and then you look at the Man City run of fixtures coming up next, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the next two games, or just one more game without Rodri?
Actually, I think one.
I'm not sure.
Because Carabao. Yeah, no. One more game only. Because of the Carabao Cup. So that's
So with that, I think, I mean, there's also the rotation risk of having Foden in your team.
Yeah,
I mean, Foden, they can play Doku, they can play Alvarez, as in whoever there. I mean, Foden, you know, like, it's susceptible to that, the rotation. So, I'm looking to move. I think I've got the points that I won from Foden in the past few games. Right? And I think there are better options who are more nailed in the team and can get the same amount of points as Foden. So I would want to move Foden at this point.
This game week? Before your team? Before facing your team?
Yeah, it's one of the moves. It's one of the moves, okay. I'm considering. But it just depends on the injury status. Because I also have Botman in my team. So I think maybe I'll talk more about it later. But Foden is someone I'm considering to move. Right. Is there anything else on Foden? Because I want to discuss on Haaland. I think if you look X. Continue.
No, nothing on Foden. I'm just impressed. You think about Haaland?
Yeah, so.
Wait, you're impressed with Foden?
No. I'm just impressed that City played the 10 PM game. They lost at 11:45 and they managed to transfer the funds before the Liverpool game to the refs for the beer.
The PGML shut down our podcast.
I didn't say transfer to who. Right? Why?
Okay.
Still bitter.
Let's talk about
any other week, right? Yeah.
Let's talk about Haaland. Yeah, I'm quite intrigued by this. EBK.
So I think we see, as in, there are a few content creators out there that actually is advocating the move out of Haaland.
Out of Haaland, yeah, I saw that.
Quite interesting. To be honest, like, it's something that I was contemplating as well. At the start. At the start of the week, to be honest. But then, like, after sitting on it, right, I feel like I didn't want to do it. So basically, like, okay, I explained in detail why I went without Salah in my wildcard team. And then now looking at all the wildcard drafts checked by content creators, all have Salah inside. So I'm a bit scared. The only move I can make, right, to get Salah in my team is to upgrade him from Foden and then, like, Haaland down to Nunes. That's one of moves that I was contemplating. Okay. Yeah, but anyway, like, there are people that are talking about leaving Haaland out. After I sat on it, I feel that I think I would still keep Haaland. I wouldn't do this move of going to Salah.
Okay. NGL, because I also heard the content creator. So I was considering doing Haaland to Watkins and Nakamba to Sun.
Mm.
Right? For hit.
Mm.
Then I was thinking Sun and Salah, right? They have, you can captain both of them comfortably rotation wise. Like that's how I was looking. I'm like, okay. But then when I look at Rashford, I look at Saka, then maybe I can't do that transfer. But I was considering it also. Because I'm thinking, oh sure, can I? But it's so scary, man. I probably won't do it. It's still too scary.
The thing is, okay, so like when you don't captain Haaland, at least you have Haaland's points in your team. You know?
Yeah.
It might not be the full captain points, but at least you have that cushion of Haaland's points in your team. Right. But then whereas if you sell Haaland out, right, you don't even have that cushion of Haaland's team. So if he gets like a 20-point
return, what you guys think?
That's a 40-point.
What do you guys think?
So what I think, right? Because the reason why I want to move out of Haaland, it's not only the pull factor of Salah, it's also the push factor of Haaland. Looking at Haaland's fixtures, right? He has a tougher run of fixtures compared to Liverpool, compared to Salah. Right? But then to be honest, right, to be fair to Man City, right? Looking at the tougher fixtures, right?
Brighton playing home is not tough.
They are playing teams that are on paper it looks kind of tough, like Arsenal, Brighton, Man U, there's also Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs. And to be fair to Man City, right? They play better against teams that are expensive. Like they are play attacking football, right? Because they have spaces to attack in those kind of games. Whereas like against teams like Wolves that, you know, kind of sit back, kind of defend, kind of like wait for opportunities to attack, right? I think it's harder for them in those teams. Right? So actually it's good that they have tougher fixtures, to be honest, right? For Man City. So like you just have to, with Haaland, just stick with him. This is what I'm telling myself, convincing myself to stay away from Salah, to keep Haaland to captain him.
I want to ask Anwar. So what do you think of my planned transfers for Haaland to Watkins, Nakamba to Sun?
Okay, very honest with you, if I were in your position and that's a consideration, I might go for it. Okay, why? Hear me out. Okay, the only way that you can bring back Haaland into your team is through a wild card. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
It's too expensive to bring in with like a... Exactly. So you still have your wild card. You have this plan coming up in the next 2 or 3 games to bring in like Son. Son has an amazing run of form. And if that's the only way for you to get in, Watkins to get in, I think that's a viable move. Because we compare the returns that Son and Watkins probably going to get in versus Haaland, one player in the next 2 games. I think ABK mentioned something about like point per million, right? And you also have Salah in your team. So that's worthy of consideration, especially since you have your wild card. But if you don't have your wild card and you do that, and then
And then
later on when like 80-90% of owners own Haaland and you don't, then you're always like trying to find that differential every week to try to catch up on the points, then that's where you might struggle. So again, because ABK is really on the wild card, I think he probably, if he moves Haaland out of his team, the next time he can probably see Haaland in is in the next half of the season. Because he probably have to shift too many points. Minus eight. But it's too many points too much to bring Haaland in. So that's the thing. So there's two sides of the coin that you can look at. If you're well prepared for the next 3-4 weeks with Aston Villa run of forms and Spurs run of games, and you think you want to move out Haaland like what Lukman is doing to get in Son and Watkins, I think it's worthy of consideration if you have the wild card. But if you don't, you just sit on it and then... then just hopes that he returns. What's his EO now? Like 94%, 95, 93%?
Yeah.
Who?
Right? Haaland. And the remaining 7%, I think, is not playing FPL anymore.
91.4.
So it's too much.
I mean, I think it could be a bit of overthinking getting him out. I mean, just look. Eight goals in 7 games. I mean, that speaks for itself. I mean, how can you live without someone that is scoring this much. I mean,
let's move on to the next segment. Copy takeaways. So in this segment, we'll be tackling burning questions head on, discuss key assets to look out for, highlight trends and strategies for the upcoming game week, and answer the questions that you have shared with us. But this week, we have no questions.
And comment on the VAR.
So the talking point is the Liverpool and Spurs game. Anwar, you want to... Ren, this is your... That's why you have a podcast. It's to Ren.
Like, you can go ahead. The silver lining amongst all this, right, around all this, is that on any other game week, we would have put Liverpool under our growth of the week. But because of the circumstances they lost against Spurs. I mean, in any other week, I mean, it's a loss for Liverpool.
If 11 against 11,
I wouldn't put them in the roast of the week. I'll put VAR in the roast of the week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why didn't you suggest that?
Pretty bad, I mean.
But like, I mean, even okay, ABK, you don't support Liverpool. Liverpool is like it's like
oh, but he
challenging
hates Spurs,
you for the title. Yeah, you hate Spurs, but like Spurs. I mean, what do you think about the calls, man?
Yeah,
it was an absolute disgrace, man.
Yeah, I just shared the video of the VAR.
Audio and video.
Yeah. They were just reviewing the footage as well. It's basically they made the wrong call, like, so they thought it was a goal. Alright, that's why they said no comment. Okay, clear this. Yeah. Clear. Alright, when after
they
when
the game, lah.
Sorry.
Like they're not concentrating on the game, right? Yeah, they're watching the background.
After that, when the game restarted, then they were like, nothing you can do now. Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you are the main ref, right? As in, you're the referee, right? I mean, like, although already you make the rules that once the game restarts, you cannot change it, right? I mean, like, it's better for everyone if, you know, you make the call on field, right? Is it better to be wrong on, I mean, to restart, to take back the game after the game has restarted, or is it better to make the wrong call and just live with it? I think it's definitely better to after the game restart. I mean, you go against the rules a bit to restart the game. Hey, yeah. But actually, this rule, I remember like last time where a game like finished already, like final. I say maybe the rules change. Yeah.
Brighton
game
against Man U, right?
Yeah, Bruno, the game finished already. And after they call back people to restart the game, if that was possible, I didn't understand why you cannot just bring back the game. You know, but I think the rules has changed a bit. Maybe
that's besides the point. I mean, like you're supposed to use this technology to help you make better decisions, right? So let's go through the first one first. The Curtis Jones red card. I mean, okay, he saw it. He thought it was worthy of a yellow. Right, and then he got intervened by VAR saying that it's a potential red for him to review it, and he was shown a still image on the screen. Like, it wasn't even like a slow motion replay or what. I mean, at the end of the day, he caught Bissouma's leg. It didn't look nice. It was unlucky. Whatever. Yes, it might be worthy of a red, but the fact that he was shown just a still image just shows, like, you know how quick or like the image was showing you the decision to make. That's one. Second thing was, I don't even know why they couldn't spend like 2 seconds to draw the lines on the VAR to check. Right? They didn't even draw the lines. They just showed, okay, offside goal.
Clear.
Okay, let's play on.
It was clear,
but I mean, like, they should at least like have a simple protocol of drawing lines every time they review this VAR for offside, right? So I think that's my opinion. And the linesman was so quick to raise his flag for offside when it was clearly not offside. So it's really, I mean, like, if I understand correctly, they introduced some rule saying that if it's not obvious offside, the linesman doesn't raise his flag until the end of the game, and then he comments it.
The end of the game.
Offside, right? No, sorry. Until the end of the play.
So suddenly at the end of the game, it is.
Hey, bro, offside. Not the end of the game, yeah. But I mean, for those of you listening, the Rugby World Cup is on right now. And if you want to see any excellent use of VAR being implemented in any sport, right, you should actually watch how the rugby officials use it. Because it's really, I mean, that should be like the gold standard of how you use video to actually supplement the decisions. Like, they will literally pause the game, pause the time, and go through the video until they have a clear and absolute outcome. And you can actually hear the voice communication between the referee and
the VAR referee.
So, yeah, the thought process and the referee, then they will have a discussion over there. And if it's a 50-50 call, then they will usually go the other way. Yeah, so it's very clear and very precise. But I don't understand why I'm just ranting a bit more here. Scott Carson appeared on a podcast. I forgot which podcast this was. Huh? But he was saying that, like, Like, we didn't see the replay again, even at the halftime commercial until the very last part. And they didn't
Ben
even
Foster,
mention about it. Ben Foster. No, it's called Carson.
I'm wondering why it's called Carson.
Hey, why is he wearing Arsenal jersey?
He always wear a different jersey. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's part of his.
Sorry, Ben Foster, like, he's saying that there must be something going on. I mean, like they tried to cover it up in the game itself. So I don't think it's fair for like the media to actually be, I mean, to cover this kind of thing up. They should at least speak about it a bit more, and then at halftime the referees could have come back with a decision to do it and then just to apologize. Yeah. And even Alex McAllister got. He wrote like, okay, Alex McAllister, right? He said like, play against 12, and then like the FA wants to charge him for that. I mean, like, you take ownership for the fact that you know that it was directed towards you. So it's a lot of question marks behind this.
Yeah, I gotta say, okay, though, so like Liverpool, right? For a team that was playing nine men, right, against 11, right?
Yeah.
What a game, lah! What a game, like. Alisson played. I mean, don't take anything away from Liverpool. Like, Alisson played a game of his life. I feel like it was just unlucky that last minute goal. But that defense against nine men, it's damn difficult to play nine men. I mean, you're playing long periods with 10 men, and then you play with nine men. That's kind of crazy how they even managed to keep at bay this Tottenham team. So pretty solid. Yeah.
Like Klopp had the 7-year curse last season, right? And I think, like, even as a fan, a Liverpool fan, I think Klopp has always been accused of not being so adept tactically, like to change tactics for his team. He's always been second pressing 4-3-3, it's like that. But I think if you look at what he's done this season, right, I think he's actually changed a little bit. Like he wanted to bring in Nunes on to create some chaos lah, and then Jota came in with the red card.
Jota, man.
I think that was unnecessary. That was unnecessary. But the first yellow card wasn't. That one I don't blame the ref. I think
still
Jota
should have
done it. Yeah, and then he decided
at 10
like
we could have won.
We could have produced something lah.
We could have.
But I think what Klopp did was Klopp, he actually saw in his defense, like he brought in a few more legs in, like Gravenberg for McAllister. He took out Gomez, he brought in who else in defense. Yeah. And then I think the only mistake was he should have kept Gomez on the pitch instead of Trent. But I think it was clear that what he wanted to do was he wanted to delay the plays and then see if he can get a corner, free kick or something like that, and see if he can corner.
Actually, ironically, right, when Liverpool went to 9, right, and then Klopp changed made the changes, right, to went 5 at the back, it was harder for Spurs to score because we were so compact and they were just cutting in, right, their wingers. So ironically, going down to 9 made it harder for Spurs, but harder for us to score, for sure.
And I think I give huge respect to Big Ange, right? Even though Matip scored the own goal. No, really. Matip scored the own goal, I think what Ange saw, I don't know. This could be just me like hyping up Ange, but I think what he saw was that Madison. No, didn't celebrate. It's the substitution that he made. He took out Son. He took out Madison, right? And people were like saying, why are you taking out your best players against a 9-man team? And I think that what he did there was actually to shift the attack a little bit, because with these two players in, they were always trying to get in behind, they were trying to play the true passes, they were trying to play wide and cutting the ball back in, and there wasn't much physical presence in the box. So what he did was he took out Madison, he put in Anson, he put in a bigger presence up front with the youngster. I don't know who he was, but I think he's a 6'2" striker, and then it was very obvious that the shape changed a bit more, right, with Højbjerg in the middle pushing out wide, and then they just started throwing in the crosses, and then one eventually went in. So
but it's crazy,
I would give Inch some credit for that, right? Yeah, because he knew that we were compact there, and we just had to make sure that put the bodies in the box and cross it in and hope for the best.
Okay. In conclusion, you still got some more?
No. I just want to dial back to the FPL aspect of Liverpool versus Spurs. Liverpool, the only asset that you should consider, Salah. Everyone else is no. defenders, no.
Actually, right.
Nunes.
Actually, right. If I was on a World Cup, right, I'll be tempted to put in Trent. I would be. Nah. I'll play around with it and see
expensive
how much the rest
it's a bit
of the team
expensive la. I mean, yeah. I would rather.
But
I mean,
be tempted.
Yeah, I mean, a Trippier 6.5. I'd rather keep input Trippier than.
Yeah, maybe, exactly.
Maybe. And then Trent.
Or maybe Trippier and sorry, maybe Trent and Diaz. Then just forgo Salah. Maybe I'll try play
no,
around.
No, no,
if
no,
I'm
I think that's
card.
Just
no,
that's
no,
just
no.
Overthinking. Okay, and then for yeah. That's for Liverpool. For the Spurs side, I think it's actually quite viable. Looking at their fixture runs, go triple Spurs.
Share with you my wildcard.
Who's on your wildcard? Who's on your triple Spurs wildcard?
I
quite
mean,
Poro, Maddox.
Poro or Doggy, right? Huh?
Me? Poro and Udogi. Yeah, I brought in Poro, Madison, and Son.
Yeah, I mean, you can replace the Udogi with Poro as well if you don't have enough cash to go Poro. Yeah. I think that's kind of like everyone's triple up, I think. These three guys.
So to end this conversation, right? So that's the first time a goal is awarded, but not given. Okay, so let's move on to. Because the goal was awarded, right, by the VAR.
Awarded if
but it wasn't given.
Never mind.
Is that
move
a correct statement?
But I really no. But I really hope. Okay, I really hope that with this incident, right? With this incident, they actually make some better calls for VAR.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Okay, I want to talk about the blank and double game weeks in game week 18 onwards. So after Man City and Brentford were out of the Carabao, right? We already knew game week 18 were blanks for both Man City and Brentford. But Ben Krellin, if you guys are not following him yet, follow him on X. He thinks that Man City and Brentford will most likely double in game week 20. So that will give Man City a double game week of Sheffield at home and Brentford at home. So that is a triple captain opportunity. And Brentford will have a double of Crystal Palace away and Man City away. So the last opportunity to play your wildcard, right, is actually game week 20 on that double game week. So you wouldn't want to use your wildcard on that game week because you want to use your triple captain, right? So game week 19 will probably be the best time to use if you still haven't used it yet. So I'm thinking in that wildcard 19, right, I could like triple up on City. And then I could double up on Brentford. I could have like Flecken and Embuemo, for example, because they have a double and they have a good run of fixtures also after the double 20. And then like leading up to get the blank 18, right, I could sell my Man City player. So I blank, I did end, and I walk up back that mean. So that's what I'm planning to do. But of course, like I'm thinking, okay, maybe a minus 4, minus 8 is worth it for holding my walk up. But I'm thinking if my team is in bad shape, maybe I will just scrape this pen. And there's also one more factor. Salah will miss games from game week 21 through FCON. So he will miss FCON, a minimum of 2 to 4 games. So you can even go without Salah in your game week 19 because he will miss in 21 onwards. So that's another factor. So there's a lot of things you can do with this wildcard, which is pretty powerful. Because without a wildcard, it's difficult, I guess, to triple out City on a double. Of course, there's a lot of factors like rotation, there's Christmas period, and also that game week 19, right, I'll be on holiday also. Then there's short turnaround 3 days before, I think it's a Tuesday deadline, and then Saturday is game week 18. So yeah, but it's fine because my in-laws are coming with me on my holiday, so I have time. So so what do you think?
But I think Lukman's strategy is interesting. I think this comes a lot with his experience playing like the UCL fantasy and all this. So he looks he's really looking ahead, like a wild card followed by blank, followed by double game week. How can I maximize those points? And if your team setup structure is good now, why not keep it for week 19? But otherwise, in my opinion, you have 2 wild cards, one at the first half of the season and another one at the second half of the season. So generally, if you were to look it from a very a conservative point of view, you have 2 opportunities to change your team. So if you split the season into 3/3, right? So 38 divided by 3, usually around game week 10 to 13 is when you want to do your first wild card. And then again in game 26, 20. But again, the strategy that you put is quite interesting to consider. And it's still 19 game weeks ahead. But don't keep your wild cards if you're really struggling just to play this.
So to recap, they blank in 18 and then 19 and then double in 20. But it's not confirmed. It's just a high probability. Because they're both on the Carabao, So, ABK, what do you think?
Yeah, so I just feel that I mean, don't be too like stuck to this strategy like in your head that you because of that strategy, right? You don't want to play your wild card, right? And then because of that, right? Your team, you know, there'll be weeks where you feel like, oh, you really need to fix your team, but you don't do it because of this strategy, you know. Right. Yeah. So I mean, we are given this wildcard opportunity, right? And I feel that generally you should play earlier because that's where you can catch price changes, right?
Oh yeah,
that's
also team value is damn bad now.
Yeah, I mean that's where you can change the momentum of your team, right? I feel like, and which is what I did. I mean, doing it earlier, right, will help like maximize the wildcard more than doing it later in the season, right?
Yeah, and I agree with BK because at the start of the season, you probably don't quite know which players are going to perform better and all this, who's going to go into a stricter form and all this. And I think keeping it too late, unless you had amazing foresight at the start of the season, I think it's going to be a bit risky also.
Yeah. So it becomes to ask you, so from now to game week 19, the my wildcard, right? So that's about 13 game weeks. What's the threshold of hits I should take for me to hold my wildcard? Like minus 12, 4 hits?
Actually, to be honest, like minus 4 already enough, really. Like, you shouldn't exceed minus 4. Remember like what Wesley said? Wesley only took like one hit, right, the whole season last year.
I wouldn't take a hit at all, bro.
Hit? Huh? Yeah, so if I have to take a hit this game week, I should just wildcard, man? No, what?
No, I mean, don't play too much hits. I mean,
yeah. 4 points is a lot, no?
Yeah, I mean, it's accumulated. I mean, think about it as accumulation. You are taking hits now.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking you the accumulation.
Hits, for
13 game weeks, like, what's the threshold in your
head? I think 13 game weeks, I don't know, man. Like, I can't put a number. But I feel like if there's any week you have to play more than a minus 4, right? That's when you have to consider that, okay, maybe how about I think of a wild card this week.
Let's move on. Yep, off the menu, differential pick less than 5%. Recap from last week.
So last week, I think ABK and Lokman had the same strategy. They wanted to go in with a double game week option. Lokman went for the conservative Morris from Luton. And ABK surprised us with Mike Tresor. Is it Mike Tresor?
0.0%
own.
Not even featured.
0 minutes.
0 minutes.
And then I went with Antonio. And I think this week, Lokman, first time on the podium. Morris with 10 point return. One goal. Yeah, top of the podium. Top of the podium. Lah. So with one goal, two game appearances with 10 points, Antonio on 5, and Tresor with a blank.
Monster
double game
Tresor.
Week blank, bro. But just a quick one. I play EFC quite a bit, and then to be fair, Mike Tresor has a higher rated card than Jeremy Doku.
He's on
78. I think Doku is on 77. So I mean, EBK is probably playing some football manager somewhere.
What's the tally now on the of the menu? How many points each of us have?
I created the Google sheet, right, but I never completed it.
So I think EBK is on 3 points. I'm on 1 and Lokman is on 1. So we are
speaking of 3 points, right? He's off. One of EBK's former OTM pick, right, is flying, man, Pedro Neto, man.
I have to say, like, I off the menu him early on, so early on, like, it's like before he even got his first assist, I think.
Now he's in Anwar's wild card draft.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, let's. How about this coming game week? Who want to go first?
I just do a quick one. I'm getting another forgotten man. Pedro Neto is one of the forgotten men from seasons past because of his injury hit season. I think I'm getting someone on the same kind of reasoning. I think the guy I'm choosing this week is playing against Bournemouth from Everton. It's Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He had a 2 injury hit seasons, but then I think he's in the past 3 games for Everton, he's caught 1 goal apiece, right? Including in the League Cup games. So that's the guy I'm going for, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go next. Should I go next? So it's the same matchup. So I have a Bournemouth player, the talisman, Big Dom, Dominic Solanke, 2.3% owned. So he is the talisman, as I said. So he's actually quite an underrated player, in my opinion. So
yeah, pretty decent, though.
Yeah. It will be exciting to watch Everton and Bournemouth to see our off-the-menu picks go against each other.
Yeah. Ano?
Yeah. My player is from Aston Villa. I think he's quite underrated as well. I mean, he plays defensive midfielder, but he's been popping up with the goals so far. I'm going with Douglas Lewis.
DL.
Douglas Lewis. So he's at 5.4 million and 2.6% ownership. So I think it's going to be an interesting of the mini pick. Hopefully it's not a repeat of last week, and we get more points in for our picks this week.
Okay. Alright, let's go to our teams. I'll go first, and then ABK then Anwar's wildcard draft. Okay, so I ended up with 44 points, 2.2 to 2.7. So actually my transfers this week, right, were actually nailed on. So I bought Trippier and Maurice for Wissa and Chilwell. So even then, right, the rest of my team just stinks, because I have Pickford in goal, I have Trippier, Bayer, so Botman and Vardiol didn't appear in my team, so Nakamba and Estupinan came on, net positive of one, then Salah, Saka, Rashford, Foden, Captain Haaland, and Morris. So coming to this game, right, I have one free transfer. We didn't touch on, like, the injuries on Sun and Meadow, right, because they are carrying niggling injuries, right. So you look at my team coming out this way, right? I'm set up with 3-4-3, so not ideal. So Pickford in goal, Trippier, Vardiol, Estupinan. So Vardiol plays Arsenal, Estupinan plays Liverpool. Then I have Salah, he's on my captain at the moment because I'm not going to captain Haaland against Arsenal. I have Saka, Rashford, Foden, Archer. I have to start Archer, Haaland, and then I have to start Morris also. So it's not looking good. So
should I walk for wild card, man? Sounds like
I'm not feeling a wild card. So I'm
not feeling
well, right,
with Pickford in goal.
Okay, the thing is, all the other goalkeepers you all have, right? Like, for example, Areola, right? That's his first clean sheet of the season. Flecken hasn't got a clean sheet this season. So who else should I get?
John Stone.
You know what I mean? Areola.
John Stone.
Yeah, maybe John Stone. John Stone is the one.
Anyone is better than Pickford at the moment.
Crystal Palace 3 points is better than one on underrated, zero. Under the radar.
But there's Dean Henderson, right? Dean Henderson is still waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know whether I'll go Johnstone. If I'm going to walk out now, I'm going to walk out for 20 over game weeks, right? So yeah, I don't know. And Turner also not definitely nailed also because of the great goalkeeper. But anyway, yeah, so my transfers are, I can just do one free transfer, either selling Saka or Rashford to Madison. If I want to get Sun, right, I will need to take a hit. So let's say Rashford to Sun, right, I will have to take a hit and sell Vardiol also. Because Vardiol also didn't start, right? So I only can afford, like, the only bad thing is I only can afford, like, like 4.7, so the list is quite a lot. Like I could get Gabriel. I could get
Udogi.
Kufal. I could get Paul Torres. I could get Van der Ven. I could get Mitchell.
Udogi is priced up. Options. Udogi is 4.8.
Yeah, Udogi priced up.
Okay.
Yeah, so I only can get Kufal, Paul Torres, Van der Ven, Gabriel, or Mitchell. Yeah, these five options. I don't know. I will decide later on if I'm doing this move. But I don't know whether I'm getting some. I could get Mendo for not here. So yeah, that's my move.
Yeah.
Honestly, right, to be honest, I look at your team, right, I will walk out here.
Yeah, looking really challenging.
Okay, but it's a bit too late now because like you've already made the decision not to walk out and you already missed out on maybe some price.
Maybe
price
game week.
Not much.
Maybe
not much. Not much.
I really
the thing is I would do it after international break because there's a lot of injuries.
You're playing both Archer and
Morris, bro. Morris is fine. Morris is a good fixture, bro. And Archer also.
I don't know.
Okay.
Spurs at home is a prime.
You do
fixture.
You, bro. You do you.
Okay. Let's move on to ABK's team.
Okay, a quick one for my team. Really, really happy with this game week. 76 points. I came up from 2.7 million to 900k la, so really, really good. My wildcard really worked out. Yeah. Okay, set up in a 3-5-2 this week. I had Areola in goal, Dahil, Gabriel, and Trippier came in with the points, 12 points this week. In the midfield, I have Madison, Bowen, Sun, Foden, Fernandez. Up front, Watkins, and Haaland is my captain. Yeah, so I got Botman. Botman was actually subbed out, so I had. Who did I have? I had Gabriel. Who did I have on outside? Waiting. I had Gabriel. Gabriel first on the bench. Gabriel came on for Botman. Yeah, okay. So anyway, how I'm set up for next week is the same what's that formation? 3-5-2. Ariola in goal over Turner. So I think a lot of people are playing Turner this week, but I'm actually sticking to Ariola against Newcastle at home. Defense: Cash, Botman, Trippier. Midfield: Madison, Bowen, Foden, Fernandes, and I'm going to put Son as my captain this week. Up front, I got Watkins and Haaland. So I'm actually considering to move Botman out because he's orange flag. He's not going to play this week, right? But the other move that I'm considering is to get Foden out of my team. Maybe get someone like Diaby or some other midfielders. Yeah. So with Botman not changing Botman out, I'm waiting for the international break for him to recover lah. So Gabriel will actually come on for Botman. Yeah, so
bro, Al Dahil, prime fixture, bro. Chelsea at home. That's a clean sheet guaranteed.
No man, no. Dahil and Archer are the two, three.
But before that, they scored five goals in six games. I don't know. I think it's fine to play Al Dahil over Gabriel lah. Right. If you need to lah, I think don't sell Botman. I think Botman after international break he might come back. So I think you just hold him in case.
Yeah.
And play Al Dahil.
I would play Al Dahil. I would definitely play Gabriel. Back my own really? Team, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Then who's your transfer? Foden to?
Foden to Diaby. Considering that, but okay. I mean Diaby is also flagged. Yeah. Not sure.
I don't mind keeping also. I don't mind rolling also lah.
Yeah.
But I want to play Al Dahil. Okay.
Disappointing Al Dahil, like considered a goal at 84th minutes.
The penalty.
I'm not joking, you know. It's Chelsea at home, bro. I know they scored two, but it's still they scored five goals in the first 6 games. Okay, anyway, Anwar, let's see your wildcard draft. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, how did your team go first this game week?
So my team has been really bad lah this week. Only 41 points out of everything. And then I think I was in a very similar situation to what Lokman is this week. Like if I were to move, I could only move like one or two players. I'm really bound by the fact that Salah and Haaland in my team. So how I set up this week, I have Pickford in goal, really pissed off with him. Saliba, Estupinian, -2 points there, Kabore. So I was so bad that I have to decide to start Kabore over Udogi. Then I had Saka in midfield. If he was injured, I would have lost 9 points there. Mitoma, Rashford, Diaby, Salah, Haaland, and Alvarez up front. Alright. So I actually wildcarded this week, and I think it's a good time to wildcard because of the players that I have and the fixtures that they were facing. I think I was going to shift out my Brighton assets. I think they're kind of losing their steam a little bit. And they have quite challenging fixtures coming up with Liverpool, City, and even if you put it, Fulham with a very defensive team ahead. So I had to shift them out, and then Saliba, Saka is injured, question mark. Then I have Saliba in defence, and then yeah. So, and I think one of the main pull factor is that Spurs and Aston Villa have very, very good games coming up. And I think that if I need to catch up the points, I would need to have the assets in. So I might be a bit too trigger happy in having a double Aston Villa and triple Aston Villa, triple Spurs,
okay, say out your draft
players in my team. So my draft, in goal, I changed both my option to Ariola and Johnston. So I'm starting Johnston this week. I threw away Pickford and Turner. Okay. In defense, I've actually so I think last week I understand why ABK last week didn't want to bring Salah in, and his point for like points per $1 million actually went through my mind, but I couldn't go without Salah in my team. So with Salah in my team and not having the balls to actually
my defense is like this.
With having Salah and Haaland in this team, one of the sacrifices that I have to make is I have to have a cheaper defense. And my argument for that is that defensively, I think it's more open this season. We don't see as many clean sheets as before. So with that, I have Poro, who's a attacking player from Spurs. I have Matic Cash, who's also an attacking asset from defensive. I've bought Mun, but I put him in first to show that I can afford him. And then I might bring Dan Burn in first if he's really injured, because I'm on the wild card, and then I could consider him again later. And then I have Kabore and Dakhil, who are my two fodders on the bench. So these two players are like 90-minute fodders lah. So at least if I need to put them in, they are like 90-minute players. In midfield, I brought in Madison and Son. I couldn't decide between both, and I managed to put them both in with Diaby and Salah. So Diaby and Salah are my mainstays. And to counter that, I have Pedro Neto, who's actually pretty decently cheap and coming to form. So, yeah. And up front, I have Haaland, Watkins, and Archer. So if you see, right, my team, right, actually, I managed to squeeze in quite a number of premium assets in terms of like Salah, Son, Haaland, Watkins, in the expense of like a cheaper defensive option. And I think one of the things that I need to be very careful about with this team, and I'm on 0 points now, so I really maxed out all my cash on this
one. Zero in the bank.
Zero in the bank. So, yeah. I mean, the good thing is that the Spurs and the Aston Villa, at least for the next game, they're looking good. And the next 2-3 games, they're looking good. I might be a little worried about the international break. But other than that, with this kind of team and with this kind of setup, I need to be very careful with my transfers. And I think that I always need to have at least 2 transfers in the bank. Because if anything happens, right, like let's say Neto is out, for example, or one of my defensive options is out, I don't really have many options to move, but to sacrifice one of my like middle price midfielder, Diaby or Madison, and that player to shift the team around. So I think that's the struggle that we have with this team moving forward. But I'm willing to put all my eggs in one basket, and this is my World Cup team.
Yeah, I think I have no comments there, because one thing I want to mention was your weak bench, but you already covered that by saying how you want to keep two free transfers. I mean, you're getting like the minimum amount you're spending on the bench, basically.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that's the only thing that I want to say about your team. Yeah, but I mean, with Salah and your team, you have to make sacrifices, and I think what you sacrifice there is the spot on Trippier, which is a popular pick, and also maybe that's Neto spot. Maybe you could have gone for somewhat more expensive, like maybe Saka or something, but because of that you have to go for Neto. But I think it works out in the end. I think it's a pretty decent team. You cover all the popular assets that you need to cover.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So for the listeners out there, so for the listeners out there, if you're still like confused between whether you have Salah in the team or not, I think you can just follow mine and ABK's journey right now from our World Cup and see where this ends up. And if you're happy to pull the trigger at any point in time, just see the progress from game week 7 onwards and we see who's ahead after that. For now, ABK's team is looking pretty decent.
Yeah, so it's quite a good comparison, because I mean, we have kind of similar teams, except that I went without Salah and you went with Salah, so we can test out my hypothesis on this thing.
Yeah, that's one to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, good job, man. And your explanation is actually quite impressive. You said you did it from this morning. You didn't work like this morning.
I did in the toilet, bro. Most of the thinking
really,
in the
really
toilet, bro. That's
shower thoughts.
It's
shower
quite
thoughts.
Impressive, bro. Is that impressive that I actually want to copy your team on my wildcard? Can I do that?
Bro, then you will never get
Okay, the only bad part, right? It's not the only bad part is you need to sell Sun, right, to get Saka. I feel you probably need Saka soon-ish.
Yeah.
That's the only thing, right?
So,
my
exit option is always either Madison Sun, because it's a double Spurs midfield.
Yeah.
So that's a decent exit option, and I think that's workable as well. Yeah.
Well explained, bro. I'm quite impressed.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. It's been quite long. If you guys are still listening to this right now, thank you so much for taking the time out.
Are we not?
We will finish off.
Our mini league.
Yeah, we will finish off with the mini league. I mean, if you are not in the top three, you can just shut out now. It's okay. But if you guys are in the top three, we have a new number three. By the name of Gary Au, with the team name Tay Si Sui Tai. And second place, retaining second place, we have Alex Lau with the team name Are You Sure No Gabriel. And at first place, climbing from 9th to 1st with a whopping 79 points, is Muhammad Shabil with the team name Kita Peng Yu. What does that mean?
I have no idea. Kita Peng Yu. Kita. If you are on the Telegram group, please explain
Shabil, just explain your team name. Be a bit oblivious. Okay, 79 points. So his transfers were Reguilon to Cash, just one free transfer. He got 79 points. So what nailed him the 79 points is basically triple Arsenal, White, Saka and Odegaard. So I don't know how he got Odegaard in the team 17 points. Yeah, he got Pickford in goal.
White is the most unpopular Arsenal defensive because he's 5.5.
That's true. He got Pickford in goal, the one with everyone hates. He got Burn, Cash, White, Saka, Odegaard, Diaby, Ward-Prowse. He got Hoyland, he brought in last week. Alvarez and Captain Haaland. So yeah, he's ranked 12k in the world. So yeah, crazy team. This is super non-template because of Odegaard and White.
Yeah, and Hoyland also. I would say Hoyland would be an interesting pick for the next few weeks. Because I think most people won't, even on wildcard, they're not considering Hoyland also. Right, so quite interesting pick to have Hoyland. It would be good to see him. He's an Arsenal fan, so having triple Arsenal.
He is a gunner.
Yeah.
Crazy triple luck though. Crazy triple luck. That's the
lucky to have Wesley Pinan and third on his bench. I gotta say. No minus.
His auto start was Saka for Vardiol. He benched Saka for Vardiol.
Oh, I got lucky then.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. So if you haven't just as a reminder, we give out a Premier League jersey of choice to the season winner of our league. So you may find the league code at the Telegram channel where we administer our league and interact with the community.
Yep, we appreciate all of your support and do give us a like, subscribe and share on all our socials. You can find FPL Copy Talks on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube and X. Links are embedded in the description below.
We will be back next week. I don't remember when, either Monday or Tuesday night, to review Game Week 8 before the 2-week break, international break. So any questions, just hit us on our socials. Thank you, ABK.
Thank you, Rukman.
Thank you, Anwar.
Yeah, justice for VAR.
And thank you to me. You're welcome. We are FPL Copy Talks signing out.
You're listening to FPL Copy Talks. Right here. Right now.